Once again, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley. I bring you great tidings of enormous joy. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, one of the things that we've been looking at is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born, and we need to know the method and all things so that we can establish the fact and not be one of these people that says, well, maybe he was born, maybe he wasn't born, he was just a prophet, he was just an ordinary person, and so on. But if you'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew with me, you will discover that in the first chapter, there is a whole lineage showing us the background of the Lord Jesus Christ and his family. This is tremendously important, and most Christians don't bother with this chapter because it seems a bit wordy and it seems a bit difficult, and who bothers and who cares? I care. We live in a time when presidents and people in leadership can hoodwink the people, or they think they can. Of course, the truth will out, and what happens is it becomes scary. We're told that we have, for instance, a government that is transparent, and yet the transparency of this government is occluded by all kinds of detached wrong. The righteousness is not there. Yet we're told that all sorts of things are right. We're not told, as the Bible tells it, the lineage or the background of our president. We're not told the lineage, background of our leaders. In fact, we find ourselves in the predicament of having these leaders sometimes say, we don't want our information put out. We don't want people to know where we came from, what we got into, and how we developed our lives. We don't want people to know what college, what university we attended, unless it's some really puffed up thing, and then we want everybody to know. And so we are selective in what we're told, and the history of our leaders is somewhat selected and somewhat devious. We get frightened. We're not quite sure what the truth is. Now, God made it absolutely, emphatically, the truth. And if you read the first 17 verses of the Gospel of Matthew, you will discover the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. So it goes on. And we come to the 17th verse, which says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon are 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. What God did was he established the fact of his only begotten Son. When he said, this is my only begotten Son in whom I am well pleased, he was saying, I have given you a choice gift, and this choice gift is now among you. It's a great and wonderful thing. Verse 18 starts this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, in modern terminology, before they had sex of any sort, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, this must have been shattering to a young man who thought that this girl that he was marrying was a virgin, and who thought rightly that she was an honourable young woman. But now it bothers the mind. We are starting this gospel off with a miracle that just takes your breath away. How is this possible? In fact, Luke records for us, the question comes up, how shall these things be when Mary is talking to the angel? How can I possibly have a child when I have never had sex with a man? She was referring to the ordinary things, and the angel was telling her of extraordinary things. God gave us his son in a beautiful package, and we say it's a baby. You can come from a poor family or a rich family. You can come from people that are well known and those that are not well known. Your forebears may be very famous or they may be very infamous. It doesn't matter. When you were born, people oohed and aahed and said, well, he's like his father, or he's like his mother, or he's like this, that, and the other. People say the most odd things about babies, but a baby is an absolutely new miracle on earth. Babies are reminding us of the new birth and the birth that we have in Christ. And the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Why would he do that? So that they didn't stone her, so that they didn't kill her, so that they didn't put all sorts of reprisals upon her for being pregnant before they were married. Also, he was guarding his good name. One of the things that we don't observe today, but we should, is that we should ask the man who is marrying the woman if he has kept her holy. I was conducting a wedding for a friend of mine in a church near Coventry in England, and the vicar was there, and he said, well, you take this part of the service and I'll take the other part. And so we agreed on what parts we would take. And I had never heard nor seen this done in my life. The vicar leaned across me and he looked at the two people getting married and he said to the young woman, are you still a virgin? And she flushed ever so red. And she turned to the young man, who was my dear friend, and said, have you kept her holy? He also went red. They both stumbled out, no, we've never had sex together. And I believed them, to be truthful. I did believe them. But the point of the fact is, we don't ask those questions today because we're just overshadowed by a multiplicity of sexuality that says we can do what we jolly well like and we're answerable to no one. We know we're in the last days, for instance, because in the last days, said Jesus, people will be marrying and being given in marriage, and that will be one of the signs that we're in the last days. What does it mean to be given in marriage? It is for a young man and a young woman to lay together and have sex. And so we have this to think about, and it's a serious thing. There was no sex with this young woman. She was a virgin. Now, this boggles the mind. How is it possible? And we find in verse 20 of this chapter, when Joseph had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child that she has conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this verse 23 is a wonderful verse. It reminds us all that in this 23rd verse, the angels were referring to the fact that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Now, I don't understand why people get all worked up about this, because it's quite plain. Emmanuel means God with us. And you can see, for instance, in chapter 7 and verse 14, and 9 and verses 6 through 7, that Isaiah 8:10 tells us this thing very clearly. And what God was doing was saying, listen to the good news. Listen to the gospel. Jesus is born. And the birth of Jesus is on this wise, says Luke. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Jesus kept the scriptures. Whatever the Bible said about him, he became the embodiment of that word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, Jesus, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld this glorious thing, and we talked of it, says John in his Gospel, and that's in chapter 14, I think. And you will discover how it is that all the way through the life of Jesus, Jesus represented God, because the Son of God was God incarnate, that is, God on earth, not in the heavens. But we treated Jesus very badly, and the Jewish people are guilty of that. You can't hold the present Jewish people responsible for the death of Christ, as some people do. That's foolishness. Otherwise, you have to say, let's rewrite history and all the bad things that have happened and all the good things that have happened. They've happened more recently than they actually did. And we rewrite things so that it sounds better, and we don't like words that make us think or challenge our souls. We just like the words to be simple and smooth, or we don't like these horrendous words that bring us up tight. We have to think about them. And it's very silly of us, but we do it. Now, Jesus was born. When he was born, this is what Isaiah 8:10 says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. We read from the writings of the Apostle Paul that Jesus was born, and that Jesus lived amongst people as an ordinary man. He was tempted in all ways like we are. The temptations were there, yet he was found to be with no sin, none. I'm sure he was accused of things that he did not do. Somehow he was in control of his temper, and he was in control of his body, and he presented his own body to be sacrificed on Calvary just for you and just for me, so that we might have a new life to live, that we might believe that this was God incarnate and this was God on this earth. This is good news. It's great news. In fact, if I was to be a news broadcaster, I would be excited on Christmas Day to say to the people to whom I was broadcasting, listen to this, this is good news. Jesus is alive. He came back from the dead and eventually, after 40 days, ascended up into heaven. And when he got into heaven, he revealed to his Father, and the Father and the Son, who are one, decided that they would become one with those who would repent and believe on Jesus. And Jesus said, this is the good news. Repent, believe the gospel. Now, this gospel is remembering that God fulfilled his word. God said, this is how I'm going to save the world. And I'm going to present the world with this great miracle. This miracle is going to cause the people of this world to be amazed. How can a virgin have a child? We don't know, except that God is almighty, all-powerful. He makes things happen that we just ogle at. The things that are possible with God are not possible with man. The things that are possible with God are way beyond the imagination of any man. And we ought to start thinking very seriously in terms of God incarnate. God came to this earth in a baby. Now, everybody says that a baby is beautiful. We all know babies are beautiful. And they're very delicate little creatures. Yet there are some people that mistreat even babies. And Herod was one. Now notice, as we get into chapter 2 of Matthew, the birth of Jesus had already happened. But after Jesus was born, in verse 1, we read that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. This is God saying, I'm underscoring what all you bright people in the world know. I'm putting a hard line underneath some important information. Now, you've read this in the scriptures. You've been told this by the prophets. You've heard that I'm going to send the Messiah, the Savior of the world, into the world. I've done it. Jesus was presented to the world in this way of being a child. We find, where is he that is born King of the Jews? The Magi, the wise men from the east, maybe from China, I don't know where they came from. We're just told that they came from the east. These men went straight to Herod and they said, Sir, we've come to worship the one that is born King of the Jews and the one that is born to be the Messiah to lead his people into new birth. Where is he? Well, they had made the mistake of seeking Jesus where he wasn't. You can get all sorts of people telling you all kinds of silly things. And if you want to believe lies, that's up to you. But I stick to the word of God because the word of God does not lie. And it tells me the truth about Jesus. And I try to stay in that vein. I think it's terribly important that we don't go to all the clever people, the scribes, the Pharisees. There are people today that act like scribes and act like Pharisees. A person says, I've had a revelation from God, from the scriptures, and people lean back and say, oh yeah, well he's one of these holy roller things. That's not fair nor right. It may well be that we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It may well be that we're shutting off what God is saying in these last days to people who have been given the word of God to proclaim it. And the good news is that we should listen and we should understand that what is happening in our day is not by accident. but it is by plan. We are fitted into the plan of God, and the plan of God is his salvation. How will he present to you and I the love of God? How can it be presented? Oh, we talk about the people that are being tortured and murdered. That gets the headlines. We get all sorts of people standing up and saying, look at what the people in this country are doing, how they're persecuting the church. Oh dear, isn't that terrible? Yes, it is. However, the Word of God never said Christianity was for sissies. The Word of God has never said, if you trust in Jesus, all your worries will run away and all the things that normal people have won't be yours. What the Bible says is that Jesus said, when you're living on this earth, I'll be there right beside you. I'll be your strength. I'll be your shield. I'll be your abiding place. What the Bible does say is, trust me. Jesus said, trust me. Repent of sin. Turn your back on what you used to do that you know is wrong. And if you commit momentary acts of sin, repent. Now, this isn't a great deal to do because we know when we're wrong and when we're turning left or right and we're supposed to be walking straight on, we know. But you see, right before Jesus was born, for a lot of years from Isaiah, Jesus was prophesied. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and wrote down Psalm 23, he was writing prophetically and saying the Lord Jesus is the one that is coming. Now, he didn't know the name Jesus, and he didn't understand exactly what he was saying or how it was going to be worked out. How would this Jesus be with me all the days of my life, that I may dwell in his house forever? How was the Lord Jesus going to hold me in those terrible days when my body fails, in those dreadful times when I can't do for myself what needs to be done? How can I say that Jesus is with me? I've been beside the bed of many a person that's died, and people do think I'm a bit crude, I suppose. But I have no problem in saying to the person dying, you know you're dying, don't you? And I'm asking you if there's any need for your repentance. Do you need to repent? Is there some hidden sin that you will not tell anyone? In the quietness of your heart, at this moment, tell it to Jesus and let him wipe the slate clean. Be clean. Be washed in his blood. Be true to his word. Now, I can say that both prophetically and I can say it with full assurance. But that person dying does not need the priest, the pastor, or anybody else, but he needs Jesus. This is the good news. Jesus will hold his hand. Jesus will be with him in those last moments. You know, we came into this world and we couldn't speak the language. We were innocent, as some people say, but I don't think we were, because we're born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. There's something about a little child, a very little child, I'm talking of a child just born, that reveals that tears, because they spank the poor little thing when it's just born to make it suck air into its lungs. It's an old custom from way back, and they still do this sort of thing. The baby is alive. We say it's innocent because it hasn't lived. He is not innocent. He is born with sin in his life. We don't like to mention that. We don't like to say this child has been born with sin. Sin is an ugly word. And it shows the ugly side of man. And it shows the monstrous capabilities of man. but sin is there. I'm going to have to stop pretty quick here, but I want to remind you that God appealed to the people through Jesus, and you, Bethlehem, this is another scripture that they all knew, out of the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Jesus came to do something, and God said, this is how it's going to be done. Now, this prophecy was well known to the people all around. And in Micah 5:2, in John 7:42, and John 21:16, we read of these remarkable things. The good news is Jesus came, and we need to blare the trumpets, and we need to stand tall and sing hallelujah. The good news has come. Jesus, the Son of God, has visited us with his salvation. Put your trust in him and understand he is Lord of all, King of kings. He is mighty and capable of keeping us. As you listen to these programs, I'm sure you think I get carried away at times, and I do. I would like to preach this for another hour, but the time factor is upon me. Well now, this is the good news, that prophecy, what has been said about Jesus in the past, has happened now. This is good news. Good news. So don't get weak, and don't turn to others to explain things to you. Turn to Jesus. Let him love you. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, as we turn our lives toward you, let the reflection of the beauty of your holiness shine through our experience, that we may love you as Lord and Savior. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. Good news. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm one. Have you been saved? Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.